We are here with Lisa Arkin, who has been the executive director of the Eugene-based organization Beyond Toxics since 2005. Before her work with Beyond Toxics, Lisa spent 13 years as an educator and associate professor at both Stanford University and University of Oregon. She has since accumulated deep experience in toxics use, regulation advocacy, land use planning, environmental protection, and strategic development for nonprofit organizations. So, Lisa, welcome to KPOV.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Bruce.
So, can you tell us what is Beyond Toxics, and what is your organization's mission, and what kind of work do you do?
Well, I love being asked that question. Thank you. Beyond Toxics is a statewide organization. We have our offices in Eugene, but we go all throughout the state of Oregon, working with communities at the intersection of environmental pollution and environmental health. And that's why we call ourselves an environmental justice organization. Where we do our work is at that nexus where pollution impacts vulnerable communities here in our state. So that could take the form of air pollution from industrial sources, you know, smokestack industries that are polluting neighborhoods. It could take the form of worker justice, where folks in their workplace are being exposed to very toxic chemicals and are not getting the appropriate help from their employers. It could take the place of water pollution from pesticide applications, where people's drinking water is being poisoned. So those are just some of the many issues that we work on.
And you're going to be spending a fair amount of time in Central Oregon this week. On Monday, you presented a talk for 350 Deschutes on native bees, ecology, and climate change. And then on Friday, you'll be in Madras for a meeting of Governor Kate Brown's Environmental Justice Task Force meeting in Madras. So can you just give us, our listeners, a real quick sort of who, what, when, and where about that meeting on Friday?
Yes, that's a very important meeting, and the state of Oregon is one of the only states that has an environmental justice task force, and that is a state commission that is reporting directly to our governor about the issues regarding pollution and community health throughout our state. The positions on that commission are appointed, and they meet quarterly around the state to hear from people and to consider those issues that are important to Oregonians and bring them to the attention of our state agencies and our governor. State agencies are required to attend these meetings, so when the public comes to give comment about their concerns around environmental justice, they will be heard by all the state agencies plus the commissioners, and then that will be taken straight to the governor.
So when is that meeting and where?
That meeting is Friday, June 9th, starting at 8:30 in the morning, going until 3-ish. And it will be at the Madras City Hall. So that the address for that is 125 Southwest E Street, E like an elephant. That's in Madras. That's the city council building.
And do people need to stay the entire time?
They do not. At the beginning will be sort of a welcome and stating the purpose of the meeting by the chair of the commission, Ben Duncan. And then they'll go into a number of topics. The first topic on the agenda should be very interesting to people here in Central Oregon. It's about farm workers and their exposure to pesticides. And as I said, state agencies will be there. Hopefully Oregon OSHA will be there listening. And then the agenda goes on to talk about warm springs and the tribal issues, water quality, air quality, a report from the governor's Cleaner Air Oregon task force, and then public comment. And public comment will start around 2 o'clock.
We'll talk a little bit more about this meeting later on and why it's important for Central Oregon people to attend and offer input. But let's get back to a little bit broader. What is environmental justice?
I love that question, too. Of course, the U.S. EPA has its formal definition, which means that communities of color, low-income communities, are disproportionately affected by environmental pollution. So those words are kind of dry. The way we see it here in Oregon is that when there is abuse of the land, there's usually abuse of the people as well. And we see here in Oregon, there's a lot of control by corporations around our timber industry, our farming industry, our industrial industry. And for them, the profit is more important than the health of their workers and the surrounding communities. And so we have these conflict points where pollution is truly harming our vulnerable communities, and people are fighting to, first of all, know what the pollution is, identify it, understand its impacts on health, and then find solutions to get rid of it or reduce it, with corporate interests that want no regulations at all and will fight to stop any kind of better regulation of pollution that affects our communities.
And we're really seeing that push away from environmental regulation on a national level in a really big way. So does pollution from a variety of sources, or why does it affect vulnerable communities more than other types of communities?
Well, a vulnerable community is defined as communities of color, working class communities, low income communities, who, because of their social position or socioeconomic position in our society, live closer to pollution. It's not that they necessarily choose to live closer, but oftentimes, working class neighborhoods are built up around industries, or industries and the corporations that control them look for places to build their industries where they know they will encounter the least resistance. Now, that doesn't mean that communities want those polluting industries there, but they have less resources to stand up against it. So, for example, we work in West Eugene. That's a community that has a high percentage of minority groups, folks who have disabilities, seniors, and low income, because the property values are cheaper there because it's surrounded by very heavy industry, smokestack polluters. Now, those folks are busy feeding their families, working multiple jobs. They may not have a relationship with their city councilor or their county commissioner. They don't know what to do when a polluter wants to increase their pollution right near their child's school. They don't have the resources or the clout. But other parts of Eugene may have the money to hire lawyers, call their city councilor, go to city council meetings. You know, they have that flexibility in their life to say, hey, I don't want that polluter in my neighborhood. And so they're able to stop it. So that's where you see the disparity. So we're out there partnering with the folks who live in vulnerable frontline communities who need help standing up for the health of their community against pollution.
Yeah, like we were talking before we started this interview about that I, in a former life, spent some time around oil refineries. And definitely noticed that the communities surrounding the refineries tended to be much more communities of color, low-income communities, and this seems the path of least resistance for people wanting to site a polluting facility goes through those low-income neighborhoods and neighborhoods of color. And so groups like Beyond Toxic Right help those communities that don't have the resources to go out and hire a high-powered lawyer.
Exactly. And we help in community. So we show up, we canvass, we meet with folks, we have town hall meetings. Then we bring their concerns sort of to the forefront, you know, help them write letters to the editor, help them make appointments with their local electeds, formulate a statement of purpose. And then we help their concerns move up the chain, so to speak, so that their voices are heard. That's what we often find, is that decisions are made without the voices of the impacted community, and that would be environmental injustice. Their voices need to be absolutely part of the decision-making process. They need to be at the table. Their concerns need to be heard, taken into account, and acted upon.
And can you give us an example of how this environmental injustice shows up in the world and in sort of in people's everyday lives?
Great question. So let me talk about a community here in Oregon at the Dalles. So in the Dalles and other places in Oregon too, including West Eugene, there are creosote manufacturers. And so that is a facility, an industry that takes logs, like that will be made into telephone poles or railroad ties, and coats them with that black, sticky substance we're familiar with that smells so bad. That's creosote. Creosote is highly toxic. It's full of neurotoxins, including naphthalene, which is really an insecticide. And so when those facilities are turning out their railroad ties, that production process emits lots and lots of extremely hazardous air pollutants into the surrounding neighborhoods. Now, those industries have continually fought against regulations that would make them clean up their production process. So we're not saying that we don't need railroad ties. Of course, we're not saying that. We're saying if you're going to use creosote, you need to find a way to reduce and curb your air pollution so that surrounding neighborhoods are not suffering. So what we find in those neighborhoods are increased rates of asthma, especially amongst children, and impacts on daily lifestyle. For example, we hear from moms who say, I can't even hold a birthday party for my child in our backyard. The stench from that creosote manufacturer is so dense, we have to go inside in the summertime, shut our windows, and essentially hunker down inside. We can't use our own property. So that's an example of how you wouldn't see a creosote factory maybe in downtown Bend, would you? No, you would not. But you might see it in a place like the Dalles, where you have a community that's working class and they don't have a lot of political clout in the world.
So I think most Central Oregonians, I don't want to speak for the entire community, don't really have a sense that there is much in the way of pollution here. We have these beautiful blue skies. We have air that smells really clean. And is that a correct assessment? And what kind of pollution or pollutants are around Central Oregon?
Well, in Central Oregon, there's a lot of farming. And, for example, this past weekend, I was at a conference where I was able to talk to locals, and the first thing that was brought to my attention was the use of airplanes to spray pesticides on carrots and onions, alfalfa, and you have a lot of, again, probably Latino families living in homes right along those fields. And in our state, there's few protections, if any, against drift from pesticide sprays right onto people's private homes. And it's even worse if you happen to be a farm worker working in those situations. You don't have protections against pesticides. Why is it important? Pesticides are neurotoxins, and they also disrupt our endocrine system. Our endocrine system controls everything from reproduction to growth and, you know, the normal function of our eyes and our gallbladders, everything. When you're exposed to these kinds of pesticides on a regular basis, serious human health impacts result, especially for children whose organs are developing.
Okay, and you mentioned people who work in the farming areas. And that brings me to a question. One of the things you mentioned on your website is that worker justice is environmental justice. So what do you mean by that?
Well, we find that those who would exploit workers are also exploiting the land. And we call that justice for the land and the worker. There seems to be a disregard for workers, especially when they are from communities of color. And here in Central Oregon, you're mostly going to see probably Latino folks or Native Americans who are working these kinds of jobs that might expose them to hazardous chemicals. And I've sat in on meetings where I've actually heard orchard owners say, things like, oh, we love our people, our workers. However, we don't feel that we can afford to give any kind of a buffer zone between where we spray and the housing where farm workers live. That will cost us too much money. They will actually say that in the same breath. We care for our workers, but no, protecting them would just cost us too much money. That is treating these folks like slaves, really. This kind of ownership, you know, like there are workers, and yet at the same time, we can exploit their health.
For profit.
For profit.
Right.
Yes.
And treating them like an economic input.
Exactly.
Right. Or an economic cost, mm-hmm. as opposed to a human being. If that's fair to say.
That's absolutely fair to say and correct. I mean, you're stating it very well. And the argument that a moral, ethical attitude needs to be taken to treat workers with respect and dignity falls on deaf ears. Now we're in the process of a rulemaking with Oregon OSHA, which stands for Occupational Safety and Health Administration. They're the ones responsible to protect workers on the job, whether it be a mill worker, a farm worker, an office worker, hospital worker, whatever. And Oregon OSHA did propose that the state of Oregon not obey federal laws that protect farm workers. Under federal laws, farm workers get a 100-foot buffer. That's not enough, but it's something. A 100-foot buffer between their farm worker housing or they themselves, their own body when they're working in a field, and an active pesticide application. They get 100 feet if it's an air blast application or aerial. And Oregon OSHA was actually going to say Oregon didn't need to abide by federal law. So an example of our environmental justice work is, together with our partners in the farm worker advocacy groups, we filed public comments and demanded that they stop that rulemaking because it was unethical, because it violated federal law, and go back to the drawing board, start from scratch, include farm workers, include farm worker advocacy groups, environmental justice groups, etc., unions, and let's sit down and make sure our laws are humane, are just, and are fair to workers.
And those voices, I assume, were heard. And have you gotten to the point where the OSHA has opened up to the input of the environmental justice groups and the farm workers and farm worker advocates as you were hoping they would?
We're in the process right now, and that is an excellent reason for people to come to the Environmental Justice Task Force meeting in Madras June 9th, because that is on the agenda. And it's very important that the Governor's Environmental Justice Task Force hear from people. We hope representatives of OSHA will also be there. We expect they'll be there. They should hear from people. Beyond Toxics will be giving a presentation about this problem. And we hope that we'll turn this bad policymaking around into good policymaking, where the state of Oregon will be a model for environmental justice, for treating workers fairly, and for respecting and promoting their dignity as human beings, and rather than an economic price point, so to speak.
So the people whose voices are often not heard have a chance to have their voices heard on Friday, June 9th at this meeting.
Yes, they or their advocates. We know that people are at work. It's sometimes hard to get off your work to come to a public comment session at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. So if you can't come, if you're hearing this and you can't come personally, send a representative. Send someone else, send a neighbor, send a college student. You know, send someone who can come and talk or just come listen.
We'll need to leave it there. Lisa, as much as I'd like to go on and on, this has been a great conversation. Can you just tell us real quick, or tell our listeners real quick, again, the time, the place for this meeting on Friday?
Absolutely. So again, this is the Governor's Environmental Justice Task Force. It's a statewide commission. Agencies will be there. Governor's representatives will be there. And then the commission members. It's Friday, June 9th. It will be held in the Madras City Council Building, which is 125 Southwest E Street in Madras. It starts at 8:30, goes till 2:30. You can come anytime. You can come and go. You can sit and listen, but they will be taking public comment at 2 p.m. until it's over.
All right. And if people want to find out more information about that, is there a place where they can go to look?
The Beyond Toxics Facebook page has a Facebook event, so you can get all the information about it. So just going on to the Beyond Toxics Facebook page. I think that's actually the easiest. You can also Google Oregon Environmental Justice Task Force, and their page is kind of a government-looking page, a little harder to find information, but you'll get the basics there as well.
All right, Lisa Arkin of Beyond Toxics, thank you very much
for
talking with us today.
I appreciate it so much.